Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 36 of the Power of God and Anime podcast, lovingly brought to you by Beneath the Tangles. I'm Mike of Luigi's Stories and Geekiness and Godliness, and I am definitely feeling the presence of the Lord today. So, I recently made plans to audition for another show with my local theater company. It was a show I wasn't really familiar with, but I figured that's okay. This is a chance to potentially get introduced to something. I mean, hey, I didn't know HMS Pinafore when I auditioned for it and ended up loving that show. Today was the auditions, and I had put out a prayer request on social media and different places, you know, that I would do well in the audition and such. But as I was actually at the audition, and I'm learning more about the show and the dialogue and the themes and such, I'm finding myself becoming less and less comfortable with the idea of being part of it. I felt like the Lord was convicting me that I shouldn't be in this particular show. But I felt uncomfortable saying something because, you know, it's an awkward situation and I didn't want to, you know, come in, sign up, audition, and then say, oh, I changed my mind, because that doesn't really look good. Thankfully, though, the director is a friend of mine and she knows me well. So she actually contacted me after the audition and said, hey, I know some of the stuff that's in this doesn't necessarily fit with your beliefs and such. And she asked me if I felt uncomfortable and would like to bow out of this one, which did make me much more at ease about stepping away from the show. And I am very grateful to God, who not only protected me from myself in auditioning for this show that wasn't really a good choice for me, but also helped to get me out of it without having to make things really awkward or difficult. So, hey, things went well there. So, we are a couple days away from Valentine's Day, of course, and we'll be getting more into that when we get into the meat and potatoes of today's episode. But on Valentine's Day itself, I will be doing my next live stream devotional on my YouTube channel, Geekiness and Godliness. This will not be necessarily a Valentine's-related episode. I'm actually going to be talking about Siegfried from Soul Calibur and discussing the themes of accountability. But yeah, that will be this coming Saturday, February 14th. If you guys want to check that out. It's going to be a good one. Funny enough, I do actually have an upcoming episode planned that does discuss love, kind of the idea of real love versus fake love. And that's going to be an interesting one too, but I wasn't quite ready for that one for this date, and I've kind of been wanting to get this one on accountability out there. So even though it's Valentine's Day, I'm going to hold off on the love one for a later time, and we're going to talk about accountability, which, yeah, holding oneself accountable is definitely a form of love, as is holding other people accountable. All right, anime recommendation time, and this one is interesting. Today I'm going to be talking about the series Petite Princess Yusi. This is the story of a young girl named Yusi, who was 17 years old, but due to a curse is trapped in a 10-year-old body, and she's trying to find a way to get herself back to her proper age. That's when she is invited into a princess academy, where she and other potential students have the opportunity, by collecting pieces of a eternal tiara, can become the Platinum Princess, and the Platinum Princess can have one wish granted. So this is her opportunity to find a way to get back to her proper age if she can become the Platinum Princess. But, of course, we have these other girls who also have wishes that they want granted and are also trying to become the Platinum Princess. And despite them all being rivals, they end up becoming friends, and their interactions is one of the highlights of the series. I actually really remember enjoying seeing a lot of their interactions, the fun, the rivalries, all of that. It's a fun little series. But it's a series that I haven't watched in a long, long time, because I remember hating the ending to this series in the final episode. But the weird thing is, when I was researching for this little anime recommendation, the ending that was described didn't match what I remembered, which led me feeling kind of confused. It's like, was the episode I saw, was that not actually the final episode? Admittedly, I saw this show on the original on-demand version of Anime Network, which means a lot of times you wouldn't actually always get all the episodes because, you know, you'd miss some and then they'd be off there and sometimes a show wouldn't finish. But still, I was pretty sure I saw the final episode and I hated it. But now I'm thinking, did I not actually see the final episode? Was there another episode that I missed? Or am I for some reason remembering it wrong? I don't think it's that, because it stuck with me pretty vividly. I mean, you know, I loved the series and then really hated the ending. That stuck with me. But now I'm really curious, and I kind of want to watch through the series again and see if the ending was what I remembered or if there was actually more that actually made it a better ending than what I thought. Unfortunately, that's going to be very difficult because this is another one of those shows that does not seem to be streaming anywhere. So if I were to try to find it, the only way I'd be able to do that would probably be through illegal methods, and I really try not to do that. So I may just have to do some more research into attempting to figure out how this series actually ended. I will say, the show itself, I loved. The ending, I don't know. I honestly don't know at this point. All right, so it's Valentine's week once again, and it's time to talk a little bit about biblical marriage. Because, I mean, who better to talk about marriage than a 44-year-old guy who's never been married? I have the best advice. But in all seriousness, as we enter the, you know, season of love, it is important that we look at relationships from a biblical standpoint. And I'm going to do things a little differently today, because we're going to be talking about some of the married couples from Dragon Ball Z, of which there are four. Technically, I mean, there's technically more, but there are four main ones we're going to be looking at. Goku and Chi-Chi, Vegeta and Bulma, Krillin and 18, and Gohan and Videl. And what we're going to be doing today is we're going to look at some of the things that the Bible has to say about husbands and about wives. We're going to look at our four couples and see how well they fit into the biblical idea of marriage. And we're going to start with the guys and seeing how good they are at being a biblical husband. I don't know how well this is going to go right from the start, because let's face it, anime, Japan, the way husband and wife roles work may not be exactly the same, and that can sometimes, you know, show in anime, but let's take a look and see what we got. So we're going to start in 1 Peter 3:7. And what it says is, "In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wives with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered." Now we'll start with Goku. Goku, a lot of times, I don't think really sees Chi-Chi as a wife. I think Goku barely even understands what a wife is. I mean, look how long it took him to figure out what marriage was. Goku, I think, sees Chi-Chi more as one of the pals, you know, one of his buddies. One thing, for as over the top as Dragon Ball Z Abridged can go, the way they portray Goku's treatment of Chi-Chi, I feel like is kind of accurate. And I'm not talking like the English dub, which admittedly changes some things to make him come off better. But based on the original writing, you know, Goku isn't really the romantic type, and he doesn't really treat Chi-Chi very well as far as marriage goes. I don't think that Goku sees her as an equal partner in God's gift of new life. Again, I think he just sees her as a friend. Then we got Vegeta. And well, let's face it, Vegeta is Vegeta. Though surprisingly, I think he actually has a better view of Bulma than Goku does of Chi-Chi. He is very open to protecting her and defending her. I mean, we look at what happened when Beerus smacks her. Vegeta, who had been pretty much afraid of Beerus, immediately stepped up because that's his wife, and he will defend her with everything he has, even if he knows he can't do anything. But as far as like treating with understanding, the two of them are, I think Vegeta and Bulma are a little too similar, and it can cause them to clash. He can be very harsh, but he does seem to have a much better understanding than Goku does. And then there's Krillin. Now, Krillin is what in modern day you young people would say probably he's a bit of a simp. Krillin very much bows down to everything that 18 says. He tends to let her take the lead on everything, which I understand from a physical fighting standpoint. Yes, she is not the weaker vessel. She is much stronger than Krillin is. But regardless, I feel like he bows down a little bit more than he shouldn't, doesn't really take the leadership position in the family that I think he probably should take. The hardest one to really gauge is probably Gohan. And that's because we don't see a lot of the relationship between Gohan and Videl outside of how they acted as, you know, teenagers, still going through a lot of emotional and hormonal, you know, times. Their time as a married couple, we don't really get a lot. And a part of me believes that that's actually a sign that they're probably a pretty good couple. There's an old saying that a plane landing safely doesn't make the news. There's always a lot of stuff between Goku and Chi-Chi and between Vegeta and Bulma where we see them clashing and arguing and, you know, the humor of the negative. But a good, positive marriage isn't really necessarily as interesting and fun to watch. Now, of course, this is debatable, but based on the storytelling we're seeing, the fact that there isn't anything to see could speak some volumes, actually. Ephesians 5:25-28 says, "For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself." Now, it seems to me the best example of a husband, you know, showing that love for their wife would probably, as far as we see, would be Krillin. I'm pretty sure Gohan probably shows pretty good love for Videl, but we don't see it, so it's hard to really say. I'm going more on conjecture on that one. Behind Krillin, though, would probably be Vegeta, who is far from perfect, but he does show love for Bulma. Goku, on the other hand, as I said, he doesn't even really see Chi-Chi as a wife. I think he just sees her as another one of his friends. So yeah, he definitely cares about her, but not in the way a husband should care for their wife. But now let's switch things over and let's take a look at a little of what the Bible has to say about wives. Now, going back to Ephesians 5, this time 22-24, "For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything." Now, of course, this has one of the most misunderstood connotations to it. But what it's basically saying is that husbands are meant to lead the household and be the head of the house. And if they're doing it in a godly way, like described earlier, then they should be the type of person that a woman would want to allow to lead them through life. Now, as far as our DBZ ladies, Chi-Chi wants to be that type of wife. She wants Goku to lead the household, to be the head. She's constantly bugging him to get a job, to be with the family, to teach Gohan and Goten. She wants to submit to Goku. The problem is, Goku isn't being the type of husband that a wife should want to submit to, and that makes it difficult for Chi-Chi, which is part of the reason she's constantly nagging him, constantly lashing out, because she wants to have a proper marriage, and Goku's just not helping. Bulma is very headstrong, and I don't know that Bulma would ever be willing to take a backseat to Vegeta, or anybody really. 18 is an interesting one because she really seems to have kind of a lead over Krillin, but at the same time, she is probably one of the closest to being a traditional wife. Krillin has the job, she stays home and takes care of their daughter. It's a very traditional situation, but I don't know that necessarily her submitting and allowing Krillin to take the lead in their relationship. And then there's Videl, who, much like earlier, she's a tough one because, again, we don't see a lot of the marriage relationship. But from what we are seeing of a lot of her personality as an adult, you know, a wife and a mother, she comes off very sweet, understated. She does seem like she likely has that submissive role to the head of her household, Gohan. Though, admittedly, there could be a little bit of personal bias in there, because when I was younger and watched DBZ, I had something of a crush on Videl, so I might have a little bit of bias towards her as far as the romantic interests in the show. I'll be honest, I think one of the biggest problems that we're seeing these days is how our older generations are teaching our younger generations. A lot of older generations, and I'm talking, when I say older generations, I'm talking like 90s and maybe some 80s. It's basically the men and women who are going online and talking about how horrible the other sex is and how terrible it is to be in a relationship with anyone. And it's really dangerous for the younger generations that are seeing this, and they're getting pushed away from biblical marriage, or to be honest, in some cases, any relationship at all. But Titus 2:3-7 really expresses how the older generation should be. And it says, similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. These are the kind of things that are just being taught against nowadays. So many people are so jaded by past experiences they've had, and I understand, sometimes people can have a bad experience. Sometimes they can have many bad experiences. But the thing is, any person, the people they've met, is always going to be a minuscule percentage compared to the people that are out there. No matter how many bad experiences a man has had with a woman, or how many bad experiences a woman has had with a man, it is this person that they've had bad experiences with is a minuscule percentage of the people out there. And to let these small examples affect your entire worldview of the opposite sex is just harmful to yourself. I think that one of the best examples of how a husband and wife should be treating each other is probably in the book Song of Solomon. Of course, here we have Solomon and his wife, and throughout this entire book, it's just basically the two of them expressing their love for one another. Although, admittedly, some of the wordplay might not work nowadays. Mark Lowry wrote a song, I believe was called Baby, Why Not Me? And he talked about how to try to get a woman by using the same dialogue as King Solomon. And the lyrics of the chorus go along the lines of, your nose is like a tower, legs like cedar trees. Your hair is like a flock of goats, pomegranates are your cheeks. Your navel's like a goblet, teeth like little sheep. If Solomon could say it, baby, baby, why not me? Yeah, admittedly, I don't know if those are the best descriptors to use in attempting to woo a woman nowadays. I mean, hey, the girls listening, what would you think if a guy complimented you in those ways? But all joking aside, it's very important that we look at the men and women that God calls us to be, and we set examples for the younger generation to try to be those people and to try to have relationships the way that the Bible says. I mean, people talk about the percentages of divorce and all that, but at the end of the day, the most successful ones seem to be the ones who allow Christ to take the lead and just try to have a marriage that follows God's standards. If you'll join me now in prayer. Lord God, I pray that when my time comes to find a wife, that you will help me to be the kind of man you describe in the Bible, to be the kind of husband who leads his family in a godly way. And I pray that the wife that you bring me will be a biblical woman who follows what your word says of what a wife should be. I pray, Lord, that we would be who you call us to be, and that we would encourage others to be the type of people and to have the type of relationships that you want. I pray this in your heavenly name. Amen. So it's time now for songs that tell the story. And of course, today I talked heavily about the type of people we need to be in relationships in order to have godly marriages. And obviously, I can think about what I look for in a woman, but one of my biggest focuses needs to be on myself and working to make myself a godly man so that I can be that head of the household and that so that I can be the kind of man a woman would want to submit to. And I think this is expressed very well in the song "The Man I Want to Be" by Chris Young. I want to be a good man, I do like I should, man. I want to be the kind of man the mirror likes to see. I want to be a strong man and admit that I was wrong, man. God, I'm asking you to come change me into the man I want to be. And that brings us to the end of another episode. If you have enjoyed this and would like to see more from me, you can find me on YouTube at Luigi's Stories or at Geekiness and Godliness. And you can find Geekiness and Godliness on Twitter, and you can find Luigi all over social media at Luigi's_stories. And if you want more from Beneath the Tangles, you can find them on all your favorite social media platforms. That does bring us to the end. I hope this has been a blessing for you. And remember, the power of God and anime are always on your side. Until next time.